We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the holy city of Qum, from the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program, and this is the final session on this particular topic, which is Islam and politics. And I'd just like to briefly recap for our viewers some very important points that we picked up from our discussion for which we need to pay attention to. And first of all, we were describing and defining what is meant by democracy as its historical evolution from the times of ancient Greece till postmodern democracy as it's understood in the West. And we said that it's basically, as it is defined, the government for the people, by the people, of the people. But of course, in Islam, that's not quite the way we look at democracy, because this was the definition of basic democracy. And our expert talked about rationalism, humanism, and secularism, where, you know, anyone, any particular person, any particular layman can participate in this basic form of democracy. But of course, democracy is not a perfect system, and of course, it's evolutionary in terms of how it is being understood in the world today. And of course, Islam rejects this form of democracy because of the fact that it gives distinction to people who have piety, who have scholarship, who have understanding of wisdom, which is much more than what is understood by rationalism in the West, which it regards as those people who will represent the divine law, the divine rule, and the divine understanding of how people must be guided in a political system. So therefore, this is the distinction we were trying to make. We are not against democracy as a whole. What we are saying is that there is a distinction between how Islam envisages the system of democracy, which is something we're going to discuss in today's session, the methodic version of democracy, which is something we're going to discuss in today's program. But of course, we were talking it from the point of view that not everyone in this system is really, you know, the rule of the majority. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about rule of the majority, but guided by education, by wisdom, by revelation. So that's something entirely different. And we're going to It's going to be a very interesting discussion that exactly what this difference is. But we're going to do that after a short break with our experts. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. I'd like to remind viewers that if there will be a website as well as an email subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you feel you want to make any contributions towards the program. We'd love to hear from you. I'd like to introduce my expert in the studio on the subject of this Islam and politics. And I have the honor and pleasure once again of having Dr. Behrouzi from the University of Bakar al-Ulum here in Qum. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Thank you for being on the program.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, I am at your service.
Thank you, sir. I think, of course, you know, in the last few sessions that you've mentioned about Islam and politics, you've pointed out some deficiencies of Western democracy, the basic democracy, as you said, in terms of the humanism, the secularism, the rationalization, which they use, in which it is human-centered and not God-centered, as it is according to Islamic teachings. So that begs the question, really, what are the real shortcomings of Western democracy?
Yeah, let me at first insist and repeat this point that we do not believe that Islam is against all of the models of the democracy. Islam is against Western democracy because of its
what you're really saying is it rejects the way democracy is understood in the West, isn't it? That's what you this particular model that they use is not a suitable model for the way Islam looks at it.
It means that we can introduce other meaning, other definition for democracy that is compatible with the Islamic teachings.
Sure.
We will talk about this model.
Sure.
Yeah, but what is the shortcomings of the Western model for the democracy?
Sure.
We can mention different shortcomings for the Western model for democracy.
Sure.
At first, human centrism is not accepted. Of course, human is very important, and Islamic teachings introduce human beings as a successor of Allah, or in Arabic or in Quranic term, Khalifatullah.
Sure.
But people must try to reach to this position, to this level. Not all the people are the successor for Allah.
Sure.
Maybe some people, because of their bad actions and deeds, they became less than animals, according to the Islamic understanding and Quranic verses.
Sure.
So those virtuous and complete people are entitled to be the successor of Allah.
Sure.
So Western humanism is introduced in such a way that violates this idea that we as a creature must look for the guidance from our creator. Western understanding, Western theories have deprived themselves from the guidance light and the divine guidance and the light of the Allah in their individual and public life. Why we must deprive ourselves from the divine guidance?
Well, I think what you raised there, Doctor, is a very important point, and it's something that we need to discuss a little bit more, just to give the viewers focus in what you're saying, because of the fact that, you know, as you say, the context in which democracy evolved in Western Europe, as you pointed out in our previous session from the Renaissance, was the rejection of the church and the teachings of the church, because the church itself was seen as insufficient in terms of its teaching for everyday life of ordinary people. So in that sense, what the West is deprived of is really the last revelation that came to mankind. Of course, we had a beautiful model given to us by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, a complete revelation, the complete teachings without corruption, without any alteration in the scripture. We were given the true word of God, and because of that basis on which we founded our ideas and our thinking is totally different from what happened in the West. So what you're really saying is the West needs to come and learn from this legacy in order to bring themselves back, because they're not depriving themselves because they want to, but it's because they don't know the other side of the story, so to speak.
Look at, there is a misunderstanding.
Yes.
Some people may compare Islam with Christianity. Even in
and
medieval
Islam
ages,
is not Christianity. That's
Islam
the point.
Is other than Christianity.
It's not Christianity.
We must pay,
the point.
Pay attention to this point.
Point, yes.
Islam is very, very
different.
Especially
different.
This medieval age.
Yes.
Islam is very, very different from the Catholic understanding
of
the church relationship with the politics. If church in medieval ages has some shortcomings, but Islam is not church. We must pay attention.
Yes.
Even some Western thinkers like Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Yes, Rousseau,
In his book, Social Contract, he mentions, Islam is different than Christianity.
He does.
Because Christianity, especially Catholic Christianity, has the doctrine of the two swords, distinguishing between the church power and the imperial power. But Rousseau himself mentions, Holy Prophet, Muhammad has a better understanding about the relationship between the religion and power.
Absolutely.
Because Holy Prophet himself established Islamic government.
Exactly.
It means that this relationship in Islam and Christianity is mixed together.
Mm.
We cannot separate them.
Yes.
So religion and politics in Islamic understanding in Holy Prophet
is one and the same thing.
Upon him understanding and Sunnah is mixed together and have a deep relationship.
Sure.
So we must prevent this misunderstanding. Islam
exactly.
is not the Christianity, especially medieval age Christianity.
Sure.
Yeah. And secondly, the shortcoming of the Western democracy after human centrism or selfishness is that the
egotism, as you refer to.
They have deprived themselves from the divine guidance.
Mm.
But we believe that we are creature. Creature must look at for his creator. Yeah, our creator is our Lord is Allah. Our Allah has a blessing that he wants to guide us through the Sharia by the prophets. Why we reject this guidance? And it is very important shortcoming in the Western model of democracy. If we pay attention that we can use and get advantage from the divine guidance, we must embrace it. We must accept it. We must go to this world.
Well, yeah? I tell you one thing, Dr. Behrouzi, because what you're saying now, I don't think this would be misunderstood by our viewers completely, because in Western democracy, we have a crisis.
Yeah.
They are not democracies now, they're called plutocracies. This is the rule of the wealthy.
Yeah.
The rich have all the power, the influence, the privileges, and the layman, as you were describing in your previous session, the secularism that any, as we would say in English, Tom, Dick, or Harry can make a vote and become a leader or stand for election or whatever, that is even gone out. Even in America, they have terrible problems even introducing third-party politics.
Yeah, yeah.
They are stuck between Republicanism and Democrats, and both of them are stuck in the same politics.
Yeah.
They can't break out of the system because it's just simply the rich influencing the corporations, the whatever you call it, the defense contractors, whatever. They all determine exactly what the politics is going to be of the government.
Yeah.
And the people really, even though they vote, they have no say in the matter.
Yeah. It,
so
means that
it means that we need this alternative now, don't we?
It means that really people do not have in their right in intervening in politics.
They
Other groups, rich people, they intervene in politics and they misuse and abuse in by democracy. It means that they say we are democratic, but they do not behave according to their own
constitutions and democratic principles. Yes,
because the rich and influential groups intervene in politics, and some people's idea they change by the propaganda the understanding of people.
Yes.
Yeah, it means that in real democracy itself is we do not see in the Western countries, because this kind of a democracy is very, very under the control of the rich man, multinational companies, and other influential groups.
Sure.
Even you pay attention, democracy in Western countries is very, very deeply under the influence of the Zionist people.
That's right.
Zionist group,
Zionist
pressure
group.
Zionist pressure group. So it means that the shortcoming of the Western democracy is not, it is at first, it is not real democracy. Because people, they themselves, they do not decide upon the politics. Their decision is made by the mass media.
Exactly.
Yeah. And secondly, this shortcoming is means that they have deprived themselves from the divine guidance. And we are introducing alternative model for Western democracy, and it is religious democracy.
Sure. Now, I'll just stop you at that point, Professor, because now you're touching on religious democracy, and that's going to be a very interesting argument, I'm sure, but we'll do it after our short break. So please, viewers, stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your regular host, Ijaz Hussain, and we're discussing with Dr. Behrouzi an alternative by the terminology of religious democracy. Of course, we're talking about Islam, of course, and how Islam looks at the methodic, as you mentioned from the previous session, democracy. So please, without further ado, please elaborate what you mean by this idea.
Yeah, our alternative for the Western democracy is nowadays, as an Islamic revolution offered and introduced it into the world, we call it the religious democracy, is that it has some exact principles. The first principle is God-centrism. Yeah, instead of the selfishness and egoism, and in humanism and Western humanism, we embrace the guidance of Allah and divine guidance, so we can call ourselves as a God-centrism. Of course, in this God-centrism, we can find room and place, and very important place for the human beings and for the people, but under the flag of the Allah and under the flag of the divine guidance.
This is a very important point you raised there, Doctor, because it's important for our viewers to understand this, that as far as Islam is concerned, we have certain rights towards the Creator, and the Creator has certain rights upon us. This is the basis on what we are discussing here in terms of democracy, because we understand that our human rights are given to us by our Creator. It is not something that we determine just by ourselves and think that, yes, I think I have the right to this or the right to that. This is where we have a crisis as far as the shortcomings you described before. But here, this God-centeredism doesn't deprive you of your rights. This is what we're talking. It makes them complete because Allah understands what human beings are. So this is what we and better than, you know, what, than we do ourselves. So that's important.
Here, if we consider our Lord as a very merciful source and a lot of blessing for us, why we must deprive ourselves from our such a blessing and such a guidance? So we call it as a God-centerism. As we mentioned in our previous programs, we are Muslim. What does the Muslim literally mean?
Surrender.
Surrender. We have surrendered ourselves to the order of Allah. It means that we must follow our Lord. We are creature. We are not the creator. We are in the position of the creature. We must follow and thank our creator
for our
and
existence.
It means that by following his guidance. So the first principle for the this alternative model for Western democracy in religious democracy is that we are following God's guidance.
Well, Dr. Behrouzi, just to add to your point, not to to add to your argument, because you talked about this in the first session, that there is a relationship of order and obey. And we are looking for legitimacy of that order and that obedience. So what better than to that the Creator himself has the absolute authority and legitimacy to give the order and for us to be obedient in order to get those blessings to to derive that salvation, as you were saying, virtuous.
Very important. Our aim, our goal of life.
Goal
it
of
is
life.
Not only we live in any way. We want to live to reach for salvation, and it is very important. If we want to reach for salvation, we must follow the God's guidance. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It means that
we, come
we will come back to our Allah. And it is better we make ourselves complete and to reach salvation. And so God wants to guide us. Quran says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul iza da'akum lima yuhyikum. Here it means that God invites us, that, come back to the real life. Real life, it means that life of the salvation. It means we must follow our Lord, our Rabb. Rabb is means the, as we mentioned, Rabb is the source, the who wants to raise us, wants to educate us, wants to complete us, like a coach. Look at, consider in
I like that.
Any
the,
exercise.
The idea of a football coach will go down with viewers very well because they understand it. That's right. Because if you want a successful football team, you need a coach who can take them to that success.
Can coach be separate from his team?
Exactly.
No, it is not accepted.
No.
The coach must be under,
very good analogy, sir.
Under his team, over his team, to guide the his team.
Team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we believe that we must follow our Allah guidance. And the second principle, after this first principle in Islamic model for democracy, is the role of the Sharia or the regulation of the Allah for human being complete. Yeah,
sure.
Here means we use our rationality, we use our intellectual ability for analyzing every things. Yeah. But we believe by our intellect, we understand that our intellectual abilities are not sufficient for our guidance.
Mm.
The reason is clear. If we see in all the world, there are a huge number rational, intellectual, and great thinkers, but they have not gathered upon one school of thought. There are controversy. It means, it shows that this rational and intellectual thinking, human ability in thinking and intellectually, is not sufficient. So what is the alternative? Alternative here is Sharia. Sharia is the way
To unify that
to
thinking.
Unify completes the intellectual thinking. So Sharia, you know, is the clear and obvious guidance and prophet, and our intellectual thinking is hidden or inner intellect, inner prophet. So it means that in Islamic model for democracy, we have a room and place for the Islamic Sharia. Of course, we can legislate. People can legislate through the legislative power. But here, legislation is means under the Sharia law.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It is not against the Sharia law.
No.
We must get benefit from the Sharia in our democracy. So legislation here does not mean that human-based legislation.
No, no. I mean, this. In the last couple of minutes that we've got in this session, really, to this final session, to sum things up, but it's a very important point you raised there, because of course the Sharia itself is divine law that's given to us. But as you see, it's a question that, as I've had discussions in other sessions with the jurisprudence, that it is within the confines of those boundaries that we are determining legislation, because the law is there. We don't need to find the law. The law is there to perfect us.
Of course, we may need to legislate upon our everyday affairs.
Yes, of course.
So it is accepted, and there is a room for this. We have such a chance to legislate upon our everyday affairs. But it is under the guidance of the Sharia law. The third principle is the role of the religious leader. Who is the leader? Who can lead us for the perfection? So according to Islamic idea, the Prophet is the first leader of Islam. We must follow our Prophet. And after Imam, after Holy Prophet,
his successors, the Imams.
He is the leader. We must follow the Imam. Who is the Imam? Imam is the perfect man and full of the knowledge of the Sharia and the full ability for managing the society. And a very brave man. And according to this characteristics of Imam, he is entitled to be leader of the society. Of course, in a Shiite idea, we believe that our last Imam is hidden. And it is on, we live in an occultation era. So who can be successor for the Imam? One philosopher, one famous philosopher, Farabi, raises this question. He
Very quickly, sir.
Farabi says, at the absence of the first chief of the society or the complete society, his successor must be those people who are most familiar with the legislation made by the first chief. It means that everybody knows the Sharia legislation is entitled to lead, to be leader of the society.
Thank you.
Nowadays in our democracy,
sure,
it is the Wali Faqih who is more familiar with the Islamic legislation.
Thank you, Dr. Behrouzi. I'm so sorry we've run out of time because these sessions run very quickly. But thanks very much for your contribution on this subject today. And thank you, viewers. I hope you've benefited from what we've discussed today. It just leaves me to say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching today. And goodbye.